Hi, this is Chris Bolin from ADI Lumberyard, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson.
Tune in all sorts of creative community voices on the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, on Monday, June 6th, including at 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show. We'll hear from Liz Moran of Earth Justice discussing how New York passed a moratorium on cryptocurrency mining last week. We'll also hear at 10 a.m. it's time for the Afrosonic Taxi with music from Juanita Yuka, Desiree Duof, and Elzalit Reda, among others. At 11 a.m., Brandon Donegan is playing favorites live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church. He'll play music from Paisley Field, Steve Grand, the Indigo Girls, and others. At noon, it's time for the Deep Threes program with Federico Ugi, Kamisi Washington, Square Pusher, among the featured artists today. At 2 p.m. on the Vital Weekly Show, there's brand new music from around the world, including from Martina Verhoeven, Marta Wehrlis, and Wilhelm Bromander. At 4 p.m., we're live from Housatonic with the WGXC Afternoon Show and Kieran Riley. And at 10 p.m., we're live from Acre with the Radiant Point Show and Nick and Lisa from Palinville on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. After the recent murders of many African-American grocery shoppers in Buffalo and elementary school children in Texas, the March for Our Lives group is organizing protest marches all over the country on Saturday, June 11th. There are two, at least, scheduled so far locally, one in Albany and one in Saugerties, both stepping off at 10:30 a.m. There's more information on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, and we'll add other local marches as they are added to the national map.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
90.7 FM.
Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra with the WGXC News Update. Go to the WGXC Newsroom, WGXC.org, for more information about any of these stories. Columbia Green Media reports that motorists using Fairview Avenue in Greenport next week may encounter delays and backups as scheduled paving of the roadway takes place. The work will take place in the area of Fairview between Livingston Parkway and the ShopRite Plaza. That portion of the road was originally scheduled to be paved on June 1st and 2nd, but it was postponed until June 6th because of bad weather. Message boards located along Fairview indicate the work will be done between 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. The construction began on May 25th, and large backups were reported in both directions as crews from the New York State Department of Transportation began tearing up and removing the old pavement. Dozens of huge potholes developed over the winter along a stretch of Fairview that were difficult to avoid and impossible to see in the dark. DOT workers filled many of the potholes temporarily when spring arrived, but a more permanent solution was needed. While the work is ongoing, Fairview Avenue will be reduced to a single lane with alternating traffic controlled by flaggers. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that the Middleburg School District in Schoharie County on June 3rd closed its doors after a parent took it upon themselves to assess the school's security measures. Superintendent of Schools Brian Dunn said a community member was discovered looking into elementary classroom windows and making, quote, inappropriate, unquote, social media posts. Dunn said that while there was no credible threat, he chose to close down out of an abundance of caution. The Schoharie County Sheriff's Office received a report of a suspicious incident involving a parent, quote, auditing school security measures, unquote. The parent, who has not been publicly identified, was interviewed by deputies and, quote, determined to be a proactive, concerned parent, unquote. However, a subsequent social media post made by that same parent was interpreted by some as a threat. Quote, the sheriff's office examined the post and re-interviewed the parent and has determined that no threat was made nor any criminal offenses committed, unquote, the sheriff's office said. Dunn said, quote, the district has a comprehensive safety plan. Staff are trained on how to respond to emergency events and practice drills throughout the school year, unquote. School is expected to be back in session on June 6th. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com. Mid-Hudson News is reporting that Governor Kathy Hochul on June 3rd announced the state has reached a tentative contract agreement with the 52,000-member Civil Service Employees Association. Rank and file must now approve the five-year proposal. Coming just weeks before the Democratic gubernatorial primary election, Hochul called the agreement, quote, a win-win for CSEA members and the state of New York, unquote. Union President Mary Sullivan said the proposed contract, quote, recognizes the dedicated CSEA members who kept this state running during the entire COVID pandemic and continue to do so every day, unquote. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Fatal formula, monopoly steal from the mouths of babes. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Last October, a whistleblower sent the FDA a report detailing safety and sanitation violations at the Abbott Nutrition Factory in Sturgis, Michigan, the largest baby formula manufacturing plant in the nation. It would be months before the FDA took action. Abbott fired the whistleblower. Four babies who had consumed formula from the plant suffered bacterial infections. Two of them died. The FDA could not conclusively link the illnesses or deaths to the plant. In February, Abbott shut down the plant and announced a voluntary recall of its Sturgis-manufactured baby formula. The FDA followed with a product warning. The life-threatening formula shortage was not due to a natural disaster or circumstances beyond Abbott's control. Rather, it's a predictable outcome of corporate greed, a cover-up, and a captured regulatory agency. Four corporations control 90% of the baby formula market in the United States. Abbott Laboratories, which produces Similac, leads with 40%, followed by Rickett, which makes Enfamil and Lysol, at 30% of the market. The Biden administration is facing mounting criticism for its delay in addressing the Sturgis plant's health and safety concerns and for failing to anticipate the formula shortages caused by the plant's closure. In many cases, infant formula is a vital necessity, providing life-saving nutrition for thousands of babies in the U.S. for whom breastfeeding is not possible due to allergies, immune conditions, or other situations. Parents of color are more likely to use formula in the first 3 months of an infant's life than white parents. President Biden met virtually Wednesday with executives from five baby formula manufacturers, Bubs Australia, ByHeart, Perrigo Company, Reckitt, and Gerber, owned by Nestle. Abbott was absent, reportedly not invited by the White House. The president has launched Operation Fly Formula, easing import restrictions to allow emergency shipments of formula from the UK and Australia, and has invoked the Defense Production Act to accelerate domestic production. Abbott has been importing formula from its FDA-registered facility in Ireland. The whistleblower report was received by the FDA in October, but the whistleblower was not interviewed until December. The whistleblower's report was released publicly last month in a House Appropriations Committee hearing chaired by Democratic Congressmember Rosa DeLauro. The report stated, quote, lax practices, including regulatory violations, were consistently overlooked, and described a pervasive fear of retaliation for those who dared to rock the boat. Following the hearing, Congressmember DeLauro said in a statement, the FDA is a regulatory agency, period. It is about time they acted like one, she said. David Dayan is executive editor of the American Prospect. He explained how these few large corporations obtained their power over the infant formula market with the help of an essential federal program, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
The reason is that we have a program called Women, Infants, and Children, the WIC program. And about half of all formula passes through that program that goes to poor families. And it's very well-intentioned. You get very large discounts the government gets for purchasing formula and then getting it on to poor families. But they do this in a way that says that each state does a competitive bidding process with a formula company. And in exchange for those volume discounts, they get market exclusivity. So if you go to the state of Michigan, the state of California, state of Oregon, there's only one company that if you're a WIC recipient, you can actually buy and get that formula for free. So other competitors of that, you know, dominant company, whether it's in the WIC program or not, you're not going to put stuff on the shelves if half of your customers can't buy it. So what you end up having is these little monopolies in all 50 states.
Formula is critical for the proper nutrition of many babies, but is generally considered less beneficial than breastfeeding. The Lancet Medical Journal issued a comprehensive series on the benefits of breastfeeding in 2016, finding that, quote, the deaths of 823,000 children and 20,000 mothers each year could be averted through universal breastfeeding, along with economic savings of $300 billion. The series confirms the benefits of breastfeeding in fewer infections, increased intelligence, probable protection against overweight and diabetes, and cancer prevention for mothers, unquote. Breast milk, the series concludes, makes the world healthier, smarter, and more equal, unquote. David Dayan, in his book Monopolized, Life in the Age of Corporate Power, describes how the U.S. government has bullied countries in the global south that try to promote breastfeeding over formula. At a 2018 meeting of the UN-affiliated World Health Assembly, Ecuador's proposed resolution to, quote, protect, promote, and support breastfeeding was gutted by the U.S. delegation, which threatened to withhold aid to any nation opposing the U.S. stance. The U.S. delegates, Dayan writes, quote, were operating on behalf of the $70 billion deeply concentrated global baby formula industry, unquote. After signing a long-delayed consent decree with the FDA, Abbott's expected to reopen its Sturgis plant as soon as this weekend, potentially alleviating the worst of this crisis by the end of July. Meanwhile, this corporate formula cartel profiting off babies' bellies while feeding at the public trough must be reined in, constrained by effective regulation and empowered consumers. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. New York State of Politics reports about the bills passed by the state legislature in the final moments of its 2022 session on June 2nd. Among the measures passed, people who wish to obtain a semi-automatic rifle will be required to first obtain a permit and be at least the age of 21. Legislators outlawed the purchase or the possession of bulletproof vests. Guns will be micro-stamped to make them more traceable, and social media platforms will be required to maintain ways of reporting hateful behavior. Lawmakers passed a 2-year moratorium on a specific type of cryptocurrency mining. They passed added legal protections for abortion providers and shielded women from other states seeking abortions in New York against extraditions and arrests. Read more about these stories at New York State of Politics. Philip Pantuso reports in the Times Union that a new vacancy study says Kingston is now qualified to become the first municipality north of the New York City suburbs to opt into the State Emergency Tenant Protection Act. The study conducted by the city found a rental vacancy rate of 1.57% and home values have increased nearly 50% since the start of the pandemic. so Kingston now could adopt rent stabilization on buildings constructed before 1974 with six or more units under guidelines set forth by the state's Emergency Tenant Protection Act. In 2021, an Ulster County Rental Housing Survey showed a vacancy rate of 1.81% for non-subsidized housing in the county. The housing problem? Not enough houses or apartments are available, and they are too expensive, is prevalent throughout the Hudson Valley. Rashida Tyler, a housing organizer who helps run the Ulster County Coalition for Housing Justice, said, and I quote, "My hope is that this evidence validates the experiences of Kingston residents and that action can be taken quickly to help those who are being priced out of their homes every day by speculatory rent increases," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper that the proposed $11 million visitor welcome facility at Olana State Historic Site is currently in the State Environmental Quality Review Act process and was unveiled to the public at a virtual meeting recently. Linda Cooper, Regional Director of the New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, said in the SEQR document, and I quote, "No red flags that have been raised so far," end quote. The new visitor entry and orientation facility, if approved, will be off Route 9G and would include a 45-spot parking lot, bathrooms, and a cafe. About 3.5 acres of trees would be cleared for the 4,500-square-feet building. The building will be made from sustainable materials, is all electric, and carbon neutral with an electric car charging station. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast. And one reason you may want to switch from fossil fuels to renewable energy is the high price of gas. Gas Buddy, for instance, says the lowest gas price in Greene County is $4.69 at the Mobile Palenville right now. That's partially because Greene County legislators have not waived the gas tax like other counties have and has the state of New York. It's also because of market forces, the war in Ukraine, and all kinds of other reasons. But for sure, those fossil fuels are bad for local air quality. And that air quality is creeping up a little worse. The forecast for Sunday is 31, not quite in the bad range yet, but creeping up there. National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday should be sunny, good for local solar panels, with a high of 72 and a northwest wind blowing the local windmill 6 to 8 miles per hour. Sunday night, partly cloudy is again the forecast with a low around 53. Monday should be mostly sunny with a high of 76 and a south wind 5 to 7 miles per hour in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy at night on Monday with a low around 55 and a south wind 7 to 9 miles per hour. Then on Tuesday, there's a 50% chance of showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high of 74 and a low around 59. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. The WGXC Community Calendar online has all sorts of local events in it, including the performances from Rashid Zakat and Aluwa Femi at the Avalon Lounge on Sunday, June 26. WGXC will have a live webcast of the performances at WGXC.org. Click on the Listen button to tune in. Waveform artists Rashid Zakat and Aluwa Femi perform a virtual dance party they're calling Revival, sonic transmissions from a Black spiritual and ecstatic experience. You can tune in their radio broadcast on 90.7 FM the day before, Saturday, June 25th at 4 p.m. on WGXC, or turn out in person to hear Rashid Zakat and Aluwa Femi Sunday, June 26th at 8 p.m. at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org. This is Tom Rowe with Wavefarm with the WGXC Radio News, daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Mike Masnick writes in Tech Dirt about how politicians are blaming words sent by radio waves for the multiple murders at schools, grocery stores, houses of worship, and other so-called soft targets around the nation, rather than guns. For instance, Republican Georgia Senate candidate Herschel Walker said on Fox News last week that the solution to school shootings involves, quote, a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that's looking at social media, unquote.
What we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. You know, he talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that looking at just social media? What about doing that, looking into things like that, and we can stop that way?
Of course, Masnick points out a government department that is looking into the speech of people also is taking away constitutional rights. Meanwhile, the Washington Post lists all of the social media sites used by the recent mass shooters. Quote, both the Uvalde, Texas shooter and the one in Buffalo used a combination of disappearing video app Snapchat, Instagram-directed direct messages, chat app Discord, and social app Yubu to meet people and share their violent plans with acquaintances. In the case of the Buffalo shooting, the gunman also used video streaming platform Twitch to publicize his deadly attack, unquote, Masnick wrote. Quote, it's weird to blame the tools for the actual communications, but that always seems to be the focus, unquote. Read more about this story at Tech Dirt. France 24 reports about civilians hiding in basement bomb shelters in besieged Ukrainian cities such as Lysychansk, where they rarely see the sun and mostly rely on the radio for information. And just what channel is tuned in makes all the difference. Quote, the Russians on the radio just said they have captured Bakhmut. Is that true? Unquote, Natalia Gorvidensky anxiously asked about a nearby city. Quote, we do not really know anything, unquote. Her neighbor, Victoria Viktorovnov, responds from a corner cot positioned just outside a beam of light that's the only brightness in the dank cellar. Quote, I guess we still have the Ukrainians here, no, unquote, she asks, as unidentified voices on the radio fade in and out. Quote, the Russians are saying they are winning, and the Ukrainians are saying they are, unquote. Natalia Georgievna said, quote, when we still had the internet, we could watch the news, but now I have no idea who these voices are or where they come from, unquote. John Brodkin reports at Ars Technica that on May 31st, the U.S. Supreme Court overruled a Texas law banning censorship on social media on a 5-4 vote. Amy Coney Barrett, Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts voted to overturn the Texas law, while Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Neil Gorsuch dissented, and Elena Kagan voted against but did not sign on to Alito's dissent. The Texas law said, quote, social media platform may not censor a user, unquote, based on the user's, quote, viewpoint, unquote, and defines censor as, quote, block, ban, remove, deplatform, demonetize, deboost, restrict, deny access or visibility to, or otherwise discriminate against expression, unquote. The law was largely created because Twitter banned former President Donald Trump. The Texas law, quote, would have been a disaster for social media users and for public discourse, unquote, said John Berger Meyer, legal director for consumer advocacy group Public Knowledge. Quote, it would have ordered social media platforms to host and distribute horrific and distasteful content and to turn a blind eye to hate, abuse, and coordinated misinformation campaigns. The main result of these policies would not be to enhance free speech, but to keep people from speaking by driving them away from toxic platforms, unquote. Read more about this story at Ars Technica. Inside Radio guesses at what will become this year's Song of the Summer. The song endlessly heard on radios, at street parties, around pools, and on vacations. Currently, Harry Styles' As It Was. You know, it's not the same as it was. And Lizzo's About Damn Time. I've got a feeling I'm gonna be okay, okay. Alright, it's about damn time. Are the songs most likely to become the song of the summer of 2022, according to radio industry experts. But the 2022 Song of the Summer might come from a previous year. Quote, as catalog music has shown an increase in streaming since COVID, accounting for 70% of listening, according to Luminate, streaming of current titles has fallen another 3.5% in 2022 to date, unquote, the story reports. Two songs of last year's summer, Dua Lipa's Levitating and Olivia Rodrigo's Good For You, ranked number 24 and number 29, respectively, on the current mainstream Top 40 Airplay chart. Quote, a combination of older streamers tuning in, younger listeners discovering decades-old hits through the explosion of social video platforms like TikTok, and listeners turning to familiar tunes for comfort during the pandemic lockdowns all led to a rise in such nostalgia listening, unquote, the Wall Street Journal's Ann Steele writes. So Billboard's Gary Truss says, quote, it's hard for any one song or one sound to dominate streaming like it used to be, unquote. Read more about this story at Inside Radio. Carl Bode reports in TechDirt that 5G streaming technology has barely been installed in the United States, and the hype for 6G technology has already begun. First, the story reports that the rollout of 5G technology in the United States has been slower than elsewhere. Even when 5G has been built out in the U.S., it is, quote, actually slower than existing 4G networks, unquote, often. On the plus side, there is no evidence that 5G causes cancer or COVID-19, as some conspiracy theorists claim. Bode writes, quote, it's pretty clear that the technology is more of a modest evolution than a revolution, and 5G hype overkill, largely driven by a desperate desire to rekindle lagging smartphone sales, is a far cry from reality, unquote. So take that all into account as you listen to corporate shills hype the 6G technology coming in 2030. Quote, by the time quantum computing is maturing for commercial applications, we're going to be talking about 6G, unquote, Nokia CEO Pekka Lundmark said. Quote, by then, 2030, definitely the smartphone as we know it today will not anymore be the most common interface, unquote. Read more about this story in TechDirt and go to wavefarm.org for more radio news. 12. Here is this week's Hudson Valley Congressional Report from WGXC from Philip Grant and myself, Tom Rowe, tracking the votes, statements, positions, and campaigns of the representatives of the Hudson Valley in Congress and the candidates who want to replace them. Current Democrat Representatives Paul Tonko and Sean Maloney vote with the positions of President Joe Biden 100% of the time, according to the 538.com website. Republican Elise Stefanik voted with Biden's positions 18% of the time.
Wendy Liberatore is reporting for the Times Union. The gun industry has a spokesman with exceptional access to U.S. Representative Elise Stefanik, the number three Republican in the House, her husband, Matthew Manda. Manda is the manager of public affairs for the National Shooting Sports Foundation based in Newton, Connecticut. The trade group's mission is, and I quote, to promote, protect, and preserve hunting and shooting sports, end quote, and was one of the plaintiffs in a federal lawsuit attempting to block a New York law that increases potential liability for gun manufacturers. The suit was dismissed by a judge in Albany earlier this week, but an appeal is likely. Manda frequently writes for the foundation's website and other outlets about the group's events and policy positions. He wrote in April, and I quote, law-abiding Americans choose over and over again to take their personal safety into their own hands and purchase a firearm. Congress needs to ensure the industry is free from woke corporate discrimination, end quote. Manda's article did not mention that Stefanik is his wife, and he did not respond to a Times Union request for comment. The foundation spokesperson refused to say when Manda started working for the group, calling it, and I quote, personal information, end quote. When the Times Union calls Stefanik